I want to begin today with a cultural proverb. A cultural proverb. It's very, very simple, but yet it's so very, very important. Here it is. Sow a thought. S-O-W, not S-E-W, but S-O-W, sow a thought. So think something as you think things, reap an act. All right, you with me? Sow a thought, then you'll carry out an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. You got it? Let me give it to you again. Sow a thought, we're going to reap an act. If we sow an act, over time we're going to reap a habit. And if we continue to sow that habit over time, we're going to reap a character. Now, notice this can either be positive or negative. That's right. It can be positive or negative. So make sure you don't miss that. What we want to do as believers is we want to make sure that we are positive because it's based on God's word, not our thought, not what we think, but what does God think? By the way, I know what God thinks. You say, boy, you're a pretty smart guy. Not really, because God's given it to us right in his word. We know what God thinks. He's written it out for us. We have it in 66 books, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. We know what God thinks. We have no excuse. Amen, church? We know what to do, not to do, how to think, how not to think, and how to put that all together in our lives. Because we become what we think is a general rule, the mind is a terrible thing to waste, and that's the title of our series. And the sermons every week are just simply a mind is a terrible thing to waste, part one, part two, point three, part, and all the way down. I want you to think for just a moment of the miracle of a brain. Now, we tease a lot. We say things like, oh, you don't have half a brain. Well, you have a full brain. Half just might not work real well, but you have a full one. We say things like, oh, you've got a bird brain. I don't know why they pick on birds, but they do. You've got a bird brain. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the brain. Jillian, you could teach this. You're the neurosurgeon. Well, neurologist, right? Neurologist. So if I get this wrong, it's not my fault, all right? You always get nervous when you talk about other people's area of expertise. But the brain weighs about 3 pounds. That's not very much when you think about it. 3 pounds. It is by far the most complex organ in the body. And by the way, the brain is considered an organ. We always think of our heart or lungs or kidneys, but the brain is considered an organ. It is comprised of 100 billion nerve cells called neurons. It handles 10,000 thoughts every day. And you wonder why you're tired. Yeah, think about that. 10,000 thoughts every day. It regulates 103,000 heartbeats every single day. Right? Boom, boom. Boom, boom. If you're in love, it's boom, 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 right? It coordinates 23,000 breaths every day. 3 pounds. Think about that. It controls over 600 muscles. You didn't know you had that many muscles, did you? The brain produces enough electrical energy to power a 40-watt light bulb for 24 hours. That's a lot of energy for a human organ a little bigger than a baseball or almost the size of a softball. Who would have imagined a 3-pound organ would play such a central role in determining the nature and value of our lives? Your whole life can be held in your hand. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, we saw the video earlier, and we're doing that seminar that's coming up, and I really hope you take advantage of the seminar. I mean, we're doing, you know, the best we can to give you information, and I hope that you take at least some time and go to some of those lessons. Do we really think, and I just gave you, I haven't even touched really what the brain really does. But do we really imagine that that brain, as complex as it is, could have evolved from some chaotic explosion 15 billion years ago? It takes a lot of faith. A lot of faith. In Jeremiah chapter 9, a couple of verses, it says, "This is what the Lord says, don't let the wise boast of their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this and this alone." Folks, here's what we ought to boast in. Not how bright we are, but that we truly know God and understand that He is who He says He is. He's Lord. Amen? He's Yahweh, who demonstrates, and thank God He does, unfailing love. Amen, 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 and amen. Your preacher might not, your spouse may not, your friends may not, but God does. And who brings justice and righteousness to the earth. You say, "Oh, Jerry, doesn't seem like it." He will. Be patient. "And that I delight in these things, I, the Lord, have spoken." This series, we're talking about the mind. It's a terrible thing to waste. That phrase came from the 1940s through the United Negro Fund as they put in place scholarships for African Americans, and rightly so, who needed to get a college education. And from our history as a country, we know why that came to be needed. And so we've extracted that slogan, and we're going to use that slogan as the title of this series all the way through. But long before that slogan came into being, the mind had already been wasted. The mind had been ravished. The mind had become broken. The parts did not work. And we don't know exactly when this happened, but we know it happened somewhat shortly after the creation of Almighty God. We don't know if it happened 5 minutes after creation, 5 years, 5 months, 50 years, but most theologians would believe that it happened soon. And there are numerous verses in the Bible that tell us of the mind that's been wasted, the mind that's been ravished because of sin that entered into the world after creation. And I want to show you a couple of those verses. If you wonder why people do what they do, if you're wondering why that we need to make sure that we are thinking biblically, you'll know a lot more once we look at these verses. "Since they thought it foolish," the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome, he says, "they thought it foolish," those that do not have a redeemed mind, those that don't think biblically, "they thought it was foolish to acknowledge God." Do you know today, church, that people all around you think that you are foolish to acknowledge that there is a God? They think you're stupid, they think you're uneducated, but I'm going to show you in these next few verses why they think what they think. And so God, because they thought it was foolish to believe in Him, He said, "Okay, that's fine. I will abandon them to their own foolish thinking. If you want to think foolishly, go ahead and you will live foolishly. Because as we think, we live." We all know that. "And I will let them do things that should never be done." Never be done. Because bad thinking brings us to a place of debauchery in which we do things that we never thought we could have done. The mind through sin is broken. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, but the people's minds, as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, but the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the Old Covenant is being read, the Old Testament, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil, notice, can only be removed by believing in whom, church? That's right, Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can remove the veil. Jesus is the only one that can help us understand truth, God's truth. Through the fall, through sin, people's minds became hardened. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, Lucifer, the devil, whatever you want to call him, who is the god with a small g of this world, it doesn't mean that he has any power other than the power that God allows him to have. Now, don't misunderstand this verse. God always has been, is, and always will be in 100% control of everything. But Satan, because of sin, has come into our world. He's invaded our world as a small g. And notice what he's done. Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. These people who don't believe are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. The good news is the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 9, but the first three verses is really the good news, the gospel. These people do not understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was God. They will not accept a higher calling in their life. They will not bow their knee, confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and that He is God. They will not do it. They've been blinded by Satan. Well, let's look at some more verses and we'll see how they've become blinded by Satan. When the Lord's authority, I saw this, I say this, Paul said, as he writes to the Christians in Ephesus. He says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the who does, Gentiles. Here he's referring to these Gentiles as Gentiles with an unredeemed mind. They are not believers. So here's what I say with authority. Do not live as though you are an unbeliever, as these unbelieving Gentiles are doing, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds, the Bible says, are full of what, church? Darkness. People with an unredeemed mind, they live the way they do, they act the way they do, not because they are horrible people, it's because they are living their life in the dark. They are unredeemed. Spiritually, they are disconnected from God and truth. And instead of us always criticizing them, we might want to change course and pray for them. Years ago, in Missouri has a lot of caves, and you can take these cave tours. And so Jane and I, many years ago, we were on this cave tour down in southeast Missouri. And some of you may have gone there on vacation and walked in some of those caves. They give tours. And we walked down in that cave. And for part of it, you know, they'll have lights strung through the cave. And there was a place where they said, okay, we want everybody to stop. There's probably 15 in our group. So we stopped. And he said, okay, I want you to kind of hang onto the rope and don't wander off. So we hung onto the rope and they switched that light off. I have never in my life experienced darkness like that. And the old saying, it's so dark you can't see the hand in front of your face, is absolutely true. It was horrifically black, if there's such a thing. People without Christ are the same way when it comes to God, when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to truth. They're disconnected. They've been blinded. There's been a veil that's put over them. They wander, notice, far from the life of God that He gives. Why? Well, because they've closed their minds and they've hardened their hearts. This is going to be hard for some people to accept. There are some people, in fact, there are many people who will never, ever come to faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because their heart is hardened and their mind is closed. They've chosen not to accept truth. Look at the next verse. You think that's where we're living today? People that have dark minds, have veiled minds, who have unredeemed minds, who don't accept God as truth, who want to live by their own definition of what truth might be, will live to a certain degree, not everyone, obviously, but when you look at our culture and you see how a lot of people are living, one might conclude that many of them, not all of them, many of them are living with no sense of shame. You see, guilt and shame only come through the convicting spirit of Jesus. In fact, we only know of guilt and shame because we have truth. And so it's very clear here that people that are in darkness have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure. And that next word, kind of impurity. Even so bad, my mic didn't work. That's how bad it is. Yeah. Eagerly practice every kind. Folks, let me ask you a question. Are we seeing every kind of impurity today? Is there anything that somebody hasn't seen yet? Please stand up. Nothing. Not only that, but publicly. And you know what's crazy? It's almost the more impure you are, the less shame you have, the more lustful pleasure you want, all kinds of impurity. It almost seems like the more you live it publicly, the more you're embraced. And you know who the crazy ones are today? You are. You are. You're judgmental. You're intolerant. You're unloving. You're trying to tell people how to live their lives. And who are you? I'm not anybody, but God is a lot. Trying to tell anybody anything. They're in love that they're in darkness. And that God loves them. I want to tell you something, out of love. You stand for what's right. Don't give in. It's all going to come out in the wash one of these days. Colossians 1:21, here we're talking about, this is what happened at the fall. This is why people do what they do, think the way they do, because sin entered into the world. We're going to get to that in a minute. This includes you, who were once far away from God. Now get this. Paul, who writes to the church at Colossae, the Christians, he said, you once were blind, you once were dark, you once were veiled, you once were fooled by the god of this world, but no longer. Yeah, but I knew somebody who grew up in church and they prayed the prayer and... You ready for the true gospel? Here's the true gospel. When a person recognizes that they are a filthy, rotten sinner, and they can do nothing on their own, and they are at the point in their life when they are ready to receive God's truth and repent of their sins and change their ways, they invite Jesus Christ into their life, and supernaturally the Holy Spirit comes into their life, changes their life, and they become a new creature, and they live like a new creature. That's salvation. Here's what salvation isn't. I prayed a prayer when I was 4 years old, and I've never darkened the door of the church. I've never read a Bible. I've never prayed. And now I'm 80 years old, and the wife calls and says, Jerry, would you bury my husband? Oh, he got saved at 4. Did you go to church? No. Did you read the Bible? No. Did you ever witness? No. Did you ever give? No. Did you ever love God? No. But he prayed to bury it at 4. That is not salvation. Not salvation. Salvation is transformation. That's why the Bible tells us in Matthew that the gate is narrow. And it also says the way to hell is broad. Isn't this an exciting, uplifting message? Right? I mean, if you want truth, this is truth. This is truth. We were once far away from God. Aren't you glad, folks, that you once were far away from God, but now you're close to God? You're close to God because you love God. You've accepted God. You've repented of your sin. You're walking the life with God. You're not perfect. You're going to trip and fall down. But guess what? God's there going to help you up. And you're going to look for help to get up. And God says, get up. We've got a work to do together. You were his enemies. I'm glad I'm no longer an enemy of God. I'm on God's team now. You say, well, I know some nice people, but they're just not Christians. They are nice people. But folks, you're either a friend of God or you're an enemy of God. There's no in between with God. You're either on his team or you're not on his team. Separated from him by your evil thoughts first is followed by what? This is Catechism Christianity 101. We act the way we think. If we act biblically, that means we thought biblically. If we act unbiblically, that's because we think unbiblically. Well, we've got a few more verses. Don't let anybody, now Christian, zero in. If you've been asleep, kind of poke the person next to you. This is important. Christian, don't let anybody, don't let anyone, whether it be your parents, your neighbor, your professor, your best friend, your spouse, don't let anybody capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding what? Nonsense. You know what we've got going on a lot in our culture today? A bunch of nonsense. Foolishness. Don't be captured. Don't be pulled into it. Be very, very careful. You say, well, I don't do this or I don't do that. Well, let me ask you this. Do you condone it? Is your attitude, that's wrong? Or is your attitude, well, it might be wrong for them, for me, but if they want to go ahead and do it. Let me tell you something. Right is right and wrong is wrong. So get a backbone and take a stand. Stand up for what's right. Here's something better. Stand up for God and be a witness. Well, that's going to cost me something. That's what you signed up for. I remember years ago at Lincoln University, Dr. Johnson, he's long dead now, great guy. And I was in a class, and he was teaching. And I won't go into all the subject matter because it doesn't matter, but I was sitting there thinking, this is a bunch of nonsense. So I raised my hand, Dr. Johnson. And I was part of the phys ed department, and he was one of the coaches, and I play on the baseball team. And he said, yeah, what is it, Jerry? I said, Dr. Johnson, I said, I don't agree with anything you're saying. There's about 20 of us in the class. We were all jocks, so we weren't real bright anyway. And, you know, we were all in there. And but I just knew this wasn't. I said, Dr. Johnson, this, I don't agree with that. He said, you know, Jerry, he said,
I hear you. He said, I'll tell you what. Why don't you come next class and why don't you teach why you don't believe it? So yours truly was a college professor at 19 years old. So I did. I came the next class. He gave me the whole 50 minutes. And I gave God's side to the argument. Now, they didn't all agree. But I'll tell you one thing. When I left, they had the truth. And you know something else? I didn't care what they thought. I cared what God thought. Every time I raised my hand, he just kind of cringed a little bit. Folks, you know what's happening today? Now, you may not admit this, but I'm going to just say it. You're getting sucked into a bunch of nonsense. Because we don't want to be looked at as judgmental or get used to it. God's people have always been on the outside looking in, folks. That's just the way it is. Now, you don't have to be hateful, unloving, but you don't have to condone it either. You can simply say, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. And notice where the nonsense comes from. Does it come from God? Whose thinking does it come from? You can read. That's right. Now, why does it come from human thinking? Well, it's pretty simple. Because their minds are dark. They've been blinded. They can't see truth. There's nobody that can read these verses and do honest biblical hermeneutics. That's a big fancy word for interpreting the Bible and say that it doesn't mean what I'm teaching this morning. It's absolutely impossible. Don't let anybody capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from the philosophy and thinking and teaching of this world. He's talking about contrary to God, contrary to salvation, not believing in the real God, that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers. We already went over that in 2 Corinthians 3:3 and 3:4, Satan himself, rather than from whom? Christ. So here's biblical thinking, getting the answers from life from God's holy word. 1 Timothy 6:5, these people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. So we have to ask a couple questions. Of course, one, you're asking, why did I come this morning? Well, I understand that. But we need to ask some more questions. What happened, Jerry, and why has the mind become so wasted? Well, first of all, we need to understand it does not mean because our mind is wasted that we're not intelligent. That's not what it means at all. It doesn't mean that people can't accomplish great intellectual endeavors. It doesn't mean that at all. I mean, we sent man to the moon. We're very smart. We just recently discovered DNA, that's a separate language. And now many scientists are backtracking and go, oh, wait a minute, that couldn't have evolved. Okay, wait a minute, now what are we going to do? It's too complex. I didn't need DNA to believe that. God already told me how I got here. It does not mean man has been reduced to that of an animal. It doesn't mean that either. So how was our mind wasted? Well, first of all, Genesis 1:31. Then God looked over all he'd made. God created everything. And God makes a statement. He saw it and he said, not that it was good, but it was very good. You know, God does everything very good. And evening passed and morning came. And by the way, that was 24 hours. It wasn't 500 million years. Because that's what the Bible teaches. You can believe whatever you want. I'm just going to be a naive simpleton to believe the Bible. Adam and Eve, after creation, were in right fellowship with God. Things looked great, and God gave man the dominion over all the things on the earth. I don't understand how all that worked. We're human beings. But apparently there was a time that Adam and Eve talked with God. They communed with God. God obviously veiled himself in some way because you couldn't be in the presence of God. We know other place the Bible tells us he'd kill you. You couldn't do that. So God somehow, some way, talked and walked with Adam and Eve before sin. Now let me ask you a question. How cool would that have been? To have God wake you up every morning. Hey, Adam, get up. Let's go chill out together. Think about that. Genesis 1, then God said, let us make man, human beings in our own image. I'm going to teach you what that is next week. To be like ourselves. Now, there was some teaching in the health, wealth, prosperity, word of faith movement that actually teach that we are simply little gods. We're made in the image of God. Here they say he's talking about reproduction. Animals come after these kind of animals. These animals over these kind of animals. And since God created us, we come after God, so therefore we're little gods. We just talked about that. That is nonsense. That's idiocy. Let me talk to your spouse. They'll tell me, you're no God. I mean, where's common sense for crying out loud? God. And we can become gods, and we're gods, and we're just like Jesus. No, we're not just like Jesus. I'm glad God sees us as an heir. He receives us as a son like Jesus, but we ain't Jesus. Pardon the Missourian slang. And he goes on, and he talks about how he created human beings in the image of God. Now, I'm going to say something. I've said the other two services, and we've probably lost 300 members already today, so my was be 500. I'm sorry, but your dog was not created in the image of God. I'm sorry. Your cat, your hamster, your pet snake, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Animals are not the same as human beings. Jane and I, my first wife, we went down to Bar Harbor there a couple weeks ago. You'll get that in a little bit. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm teaching. I'm not upset. I'm not saying I disagree with it. I'm just trying to make, or agree with it. I'm just trying to make a point, okay? If you want to do this, it's fine. I don't care, but I'm trying to make a point. We went in there. It was an outdoor restaurant, and there were more dogs almost than people there. There were 7 dogs. Now, if you take your dog to the restaurant, I don't care. Again, I'm just trying to make a point. Well, a couple of dogs start looking at one another. What do dogs do when they look at one another? You tell me. Yeah, they want to fight. I'm trying to have lunch for crying out loud. So these dogs start barking and growling, and I got attacked by a big dog when I was about 10 years old. I am scared to death of big dogs. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm getting out of this crazy place. Then there's a few dogs looking to go to the bathroom. You know what dogs do to go to the bathroom? They're sniffing around in the bathroom, and I'm thinking, is this the Bangor Humane Society, or am I in a restaurant? Now, some of you do that, and if you want to do that, fine. But here's my point. This is a new phenomenon. Glenn, 40 years ago, you didn't have dogs in restaurants. I fly a lot. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, woof, woof, woof. What's going on? Well, somebody's got their dog sitting by me. When did dogs start flying, Coach? I don't know. What are you trying to say, Jerry? Now, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. Bruce, you and Pat, you'll come back next summer, right? Now, I know, I'm right wing. I get it. Think whatever you want. But you know what's happened? Here's what's happened. Oh, Jerry, you're an alarmist. We have started slowly to elevate animals at the same level as human beings. That's what it's about. You say, oh, Jerry. Okay. You think what you want. I'm just telling you the way it is. Because after all, if we came from them, then why shouldn't we elevate them at the same level that we are? Because you know that's your uncle. I'm not being funny. I'm not being crass. I'm simply saying, if we came from animals, if that's your philosophy and that's what you believe, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm simply saying, if you believe that, then they should be elevated to the same level as you. Because there's no difference. But I believe there is a difference. Why? Not because of what I think, but because of what God teaches. This is biblical thinking. Nowhere does it say there that God created animals in his own image? Yes or no? No, he didn't. No, I love animals. We had animals. I love dogs. I love kittens. I hate cats. Why? They hurt me. They scratch me. I don't like big dogs. I don't like cats with fangs and claws. I've got a lot of phobias. I need a lot of help. I know that. I'm just being open about it. I'm crazy, but I'm going to tell everybody. I don't care. I don't like heights. I don't like cats. I don't like big dogs. I don't like water. They have sharks. I almost drowned once. I don't like a lot of things. I need a lot of help. That's me. But, you know, we all have our issues, right? I just have a lot of issues. Look, if you would have thought what's going on today, 75 years ago, they would have locked you at the Bangor Mental Institution. I'm just being honest with you. And now, you're the crazy ones. You're the crazy ones. Well, don't you offend my animal. Don't you tell me I can't do what I want. I can live as scummy and debauchery as I want. And who are you to tell me? I mean, what's truth? I'll tell you what truth is. It's in the Word of God. There's what truth is. And we have gotten so far off track, and what scares me as your pastor, a lot of you folks have bought into the nonsense. And that scares me. You better be careful who you run with, what you read, what you listen to, what you watch, and everything else. Be very, very careful. Satan not only has blinded those that don't know him, he's done a good job at not blinding, but making it kind of darker for a lot of believers. We're living in very challenging times as believers. And I wish I could stand here and say it's going to get better. It might, but I'm concerned. Satan waged this war. This isn't new, by the way. It's just new for our country. I mean, this isn't new. Satan waged a war against God and the human race a long time ago. In Genesis chapter 3, it describes the far-reaching and devastating blow to the human mind that would affect every human being who's ever been born. And it turns out the battlefield began thousands of years ago in the mind of Adam and Eve. That's where the battle first started. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals of the Lord God made. Jerry, do you really believe? I mean, here's what somebody with a PhD will say. Jerry, do you really believe that there was a snake that came and talked to people? Yes, I do. Because God said it. And that's the same PhD that says, oh, we got here through aliens. I'm going with the talking snake. You go with the aliens. I'm going with the talking snake. That's what I'm going with. I mean, I'm just telling you. I'm just a simpleton. I mean, some of the things people believe today are outlandish, but the only ones they mock is what Christianity believes. Well, you know, something blew up out of nothing 15 billion years ago, but no talking snakes. Well, what are you talking about? That's as foolish as what you think that is. I don't know how that happened. Satan somehow, some way infiltrated that snake or that man. I don't know how it happened. God just said it did. And until you prove to me it didn't happen, I'm going with it. I talk to people all the time about God. Well, Jerry, you can't prove there's a God. Well, you can't prove there isn't. Until you prove there isn't, I'm going to say there is because God said he was there. Did God notice? One day asked Eve, did God really say you must not eat the fruit of any tree of the garden? Of course we may eat the fruit from the tree of the garden, the woman said. It's only from the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat, God said. You must not eat it or even touch it or you'll die. Oh, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it and you'll be like gods, knowing both good and evil. That's our problem today. We want to be just like God. We're not gods. The woman, verse 6, is one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. She was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and the fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She didn't want whose wisdom? God's. No, don't listen to God. I want my wisdom. God said, don't eat of that. No, God, you don't know what you're talking about. And the husband, what did he do? He ate it too. At that moment, their eyes opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. And so they went to Walmart and bought some fig leaves and made some clothes. Now, here's what's interesting about this verse. Why would two people who are married, you say, how do you know they're married? Because Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25 gives us the first wedding. Folks, everything is in the Bible if you just read it. Right? Read it. There's two people on the planet, and only two people on the planet. And they're both without clothes. Why would two people on the planet who are married be ashamed that they don't have clothes on? No one can see them. Probably never thought of that, did you? It's because sin, the truth of sin, told them something inside of their mind that it's normal, it's right when you're in front of others to put on clothes. I wish Christians understood the principle as much as Adam and Eve did. Amen, 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 amen. Here, Adam and Eve put clothes on, no one could see them. We've got people who won't put clothes on and everybody can see them. This isn't hard to figure out. They recognize that you put clothes on. And sadly, when they sinned, everything changed. And every person born from that point on, They were born with a ravished, broken mind that was dark, that was veiled, sadly, that was blinded by Satan. And only when the Holy Spirit of God would work in their life and they repented of their sin. True repentance, not some prayer and then live like the devil the rest of your life. They took God seriously. Only then would the mind be redeemed and slowly over time be able to even begin thinking biblically like the Bible teaches. And let me tell you something, it's a lifelong educational journey. Salvation is instantaneous, but sanctification takes a lifetime. But I'm so glad, aren't you, that we're no longer enemies of God. We're the friend of God, which is awesome. We have the peace of God, and we have peace with God. That only happens through redeemed mind. As we close this morning, as we look on the screen, we have this prayer. It's the salvation prayer. Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the world who died for me on the cross, and right now I ask you to forgive me of my sins, recognizing that I was born with sin from a ravaged mind. Come into my life and save my soul. It is a purposefully, knowingly moment in which we make a decision to put myself, my sin, my direction, my life aside and bring in God's philosophy, God's journey, God into my life and allow him to be the captain of my ship. And by the way, you are not a co-pilot with God. He's the pilot. You're in the cargo. I know you may have that sticker, so don't get offended. Don't send me an email. I'll take an advance. You're mad at me. It's okay. I don't co-pilot anything with God. He's my pilot. He's the boss. I'm just lucky to be on the plane. I don't know about you. Or in the car. I'm going to ask Mark if he'd come. Di, if you want to come. And Gary and Pencil. If you want special prayer this morning, we've got people here that will pray with you. They love you. If you have questions about salvation, if you have questions about your life, If you have things going on in your life or you just want somebody to pray with you, I want you to know this. We sincerely, genuinely, we love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Look, you know what would be a lot easier for me? To say how much God loves you every week and that's it. I can't do that with a clear conscience. I'm just not your guy if that's what you want. We have to teach the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. And the reality of it is we're sinners. And only by God's grace, every single one of us, only by His grace, that we don't spend an eternity in hell separated from God. And I would encourage you this morning, as we do this series every week, if your thinking isn't biblically based, this is the time to start asking God to fill you with His Spirit, to help you to begin to think biblically so we can be more like Jesus. So let's stand this morning as Nick plays. If you want to come this morning, you come. You can pray in your seat. But if you'd like somebody to pray with you, let's take just a couple of minutes, and then Terry's going to come and just pray and close our service. Before we go, if you need spiritual help, you come.